New Year holiday extension in China. With the Marketplace Morning Report in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler in for David Brancaccio. The Chinese government has extended the Lunar New Year public holiday for 3 extra days. And in some cities like Shanghai, they're demanding that businesses hold off resuming work until February 9th. The hope is that this is going to curb the spread of the coronavirus, which has killed at least 80 people. I'm joined now by Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Now, Jennifer, this holiday extension applies to most businesses, but not all of them, right?
No, there are exceptions, like those providing water, gas, power, drug and face mask makers, supermarkets, any other enterprises that are, quote, important to the national economy.
And how is this exactly going to impact employees of those businesses, of just any businesses there in China?
Well, by law, this extension should be a paid holiday. Or if employees work, they should get compensated by getting paid as much as 300% the average daily wage or with time off. But in practice, this might not always happen. So think of the low-skilled workers in factories. Not a lot of them are aware of their rights.
And I imagine this is going to affect employers as well, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them just have to pay for these extra costs. But, you know, it's not just these unforeseen medical emergencies. When there's a big political event in Beijing, for example, it's routine for bars and restaurants nearby to be closed, even as far away as in Shanghai. And a lot of times there's not much recourse, and usually they're not compensated for this. So doing business in China means a lot of unpredictability.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai, thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Let's do the numbers. The coronavirus seems to be affecting markets as well. The FTSE in London is down more than 2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down sharply in the 1.4 to 1.8% range. Tax season officially begins today. Last year was the first time most people filed under the new tax law, and let's just say refund season wasn't all they'd hoped it would be. That's because many workers didn't have the proper amount of taxes withheld from their paychecks during the year. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab takes a look at whether the second time around will be any better.
Question: did you have to send a check with your tax return for the first time last year? Yes? So did you change your W-4 for 2019? Matt Metris, a CPA in New York, thinks the answer is probably no.
Changing your withholdings is not something that is on a lot of people's the forefront of their mind.
He saw some unhappy taxpayers last year, and he's expecting to see them again because they didn't adjust their W-4s, so more money would be withheld during the year. And now they'll owe again and be disappointed. Most taxpayers love big refunds, says Larry Zelenak, a tax law professor at Duke. And it's going to take some time to reprogram that emotion.
Knowing that you will get money back somehow offsets the psychic pain of preparing and filing your 1040.
Zelenak says it's never too late to adjust your W-4, but it looks a bit different this year. The IRS changed the form to try to make your refund more accurate. The withholding allowances are gone, and you got to do a bit of math to claim dependence. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Kobe Bryant was on his way to a youth basketball game with his daughter Gianna yesterday when the helicopter they were in crashed, killing all 9 passengers. Bryant and his family frequently attended WNBA games as well. Some have called Kobe the biggest champion of women's professional basketball there was. The WNBA and its players union have a new deal that could help narrow the gender pay gap in professional basketball. Here to discuss what the deal means is Alicia Jessup. She's a Pepperdine University law professor who studies the sports industry. Alicia, good morning.
Good morning.
This could be a big deal for women's athletics generally, but when we talk about those player salaries, it's still nothing in comparison to what the men are making, right? I mean, if women are making $500,000, sure, that's a lot better than they were making before this new deal, but it's also way lower than the men.
It is. And the women were not expecting the $90+ million salaries annually that players like LeBron James can command. What they were asking for is investing in the product that you are putting on the floor through marketing it effectively.
Because that's the big question that historically people don't watch. But what you're saying is people don't watch because you're not marketing them.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So the argument against paying female athletes more historically has gone something like, well, there's nobody watching your games, there's nobody attending your games, so unless you can increase revenue, we're not going to pay you more. And that's a valid argument. But the problem is, in order to make money, you have to spend money. And historically, a lot of women-led leagues have not spent the necessary money to build the brand. So when the NBA began, its seats were not filled. It was not driving millions of viewers. The difference, though, is more money was spent to build that league.
It's also important, it sounds like, that the league is looking at corporate sponsorship as a really important part of how to grow that revenue, right?
Absolutely. So after TV broadcast contract money and attendance, really the third biggest bucket of revenue for pro sports is sponsorship dollars. Well, what really drives sponsorship interest is viewership. So if your viewership isn't strong, there's less incentive on behalf of the sponsor to spend millions of dollars to align themselves with your brand. And if there aren't a lot of people in seats at your games, the same factor applies.
Now, we can't talk about the WNBA without talking about the U.S. women's soccer team. And just in terms of pay equity, I mean, the women have more viewership than the men. Does this new contract sort of speak to at least some momentum there?
Yeah, this is sounding an alarm. And what I love about this new WNBA collective bargaining agreement is they basically laid out a master course of how to get more money.
Alicia Jessup is a sports law professor at Pepperdine University. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
We'll be remembering Kobe Bryant throughout the morning. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.